We've been looking at spiritual gifts for a while, and now we're just finishing up the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. I want you to note, I thought about making a list, and I'm going to probably, but I'll read it. I'm not going to give it to you. Of all the things that a pastor-teacher doesn't do according to Scripture, and I want to make a list of all the things that most churches require the pastor-teacher to do that's not in Scripture. And I'll give you one example, and then we'll look to the Lord in communication. One example is that you probably don't have familiarity with this, but in a lot of churches, you know who the number one fundraiser is? The pastor. And that's not in Scripture. In fact, we find contrary things in Scripture. Before we look to the Word, let's look to the God of the Word. Our Father, we thank you for your Word. We appreciate meeting together with those of like faith and those of whom we can have the responsibility to minister to and to receive ministry from them. And we thank you for that interactive concept that's within the body of Christ. Amen. Now, if you turn to Acts 20, remember Acts 20, Paul is talking to the elders and the bishops, bishop being the office, at Ephesus. And there's one church of Ephesus. We find that in the second chapter of the book of Revelation. But there are many churches that at Ephesus where they meet in individual houses. So in Acts 20, then you have in verse 17, the elders, plural, of the singular church. And the reason it's churches is down in verse 20, or 17 is the elders of the church. Verse 20, they go from house to house. Now, we're over, if you go over to verse 28, it's a verse that has several concepts together. We'll refresh our memory, and then we're just going to look at one phrase. I'm in Acts 20, 28. The therefore goes at the start of the sentence. Therefore, you elders, take heed unto yourselves and all the flock in the which the Holy Spirit placed you as overseers. That's the word for bishop. So we're going to have all three words here. To feed, that's the word for pastor. That's the verb of pastor. The church belonging to God, which he, God the Father, purchased with his very own one's blood. That would be Christ. So we have, this is another one of those verses in the New Testament where we have all three persons of the Godhead involved in this process. But I want to go back and finish up what we started last week, this first phrase where it says, you, therefore you, and the you here would be the elders functioning as bishops who have the gift of pastor-teacher, and the you there would be take heed unto yourself. That's the first thing that a pastor should do. I told you, and this is a true statement. There's a guy I know of who teaches and has been a pastor, and he actually made the statement, I don't have to study anymore because I got notes in my Bible. And I guess he doesn't have this verse in his Bible, because if you look down at verse 32, we're going to build on this concept that the pastor, teacher, bishop, elder needs to continue to grow spiritually. Now, I'm going to say this because I think it's consistent with verse 32 in Scripture. In the spiritual life, you're either growing or you're retarding your spiritual growth. There's no in-between except when you're sleeping. You don't just stay at the same level. You either grow spiritually or you become retarded spiritually. I know there's probably a better word that's acceptable, but that's true. You're reneging on your growth. So even though somebody of my age or 80 or whatever, they should continue to grow spiritually. You cannot stay the same. There's no treading water. Now, if you go down to verse 32, you see this concept. Because remember back in this context, he's called them elders in verse 17. Remember, the elder is not a gift. It signifies a level of maturity spiritually. So in Acts 20, verse 32, building upon verse 28, where the pastor teaches to take heed unto himself, continue to grow spiritually, Acts 20, verse 32. Now, brethren, this is talking to the elders, acting as bishops, and they also have the gift of pastor teacher. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word. Now, you have in the King James, of his grace. It's really, let's change two words. Consisting of the grace. There's an article there. And that grace goes back up to verse 24 to testify the gospel of the grace of God. We'll come back to that. So the grace, there's some good news concerning the grace. This good news concerning grace does something to these people who are already elders. What does it do? Middle of verse 32, Acts 20. Concerning his, the specific grace previously mentioned, which is able to build. Now here is one of our metaphors for the church, that it's a building. But here it's looking at each individual that's an elder, that they are to continue to grow. This word it has a ingressive idea of continuing to grow, to build you up. Now what building up isn't in the building, because you're already in the building that is the sanctuary for God. The build up here goes, it has to do with growing spiritually. So even an elder, no matter how mature you are spiritually, you have to continue to grow spiritually. Now, Scripture's very clear. This is actually the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. You're either growing spiritually or you're not. And when you don't grow, there's an atrophy of your spiritual life. I have known people, I'll give you a bad example and then I'll give you a good example. I have known people that have known New Testament doctrine very, very well. They get in a situation where they move away from a church that teaches it, or they're isolated because the church moved away from them. And you go back and you talk to these people who 10, 15 years ago, their doctrine was as good as can be. And you talk to them because they have not been interacting with people of like faith. In other words, their church either left them or they left the church and went somewhere. And it's like they have starting all over. You regress. That's the word I was looking for. So here is the concept from Scripture. In the spiritual life, you're either growing or regressing. I said retarding. Same thing. There's no treading water. And what this, if you put this whole chapter together, which we're trying to do for you, is that a pastor teacher, no matter how mature they think they are, they better keep growing or they'll regress. And the back in verse 24 is very, very specific. Testify the gospel. Now remember, there's at least 18 gospels in the New Testament. Which gospel is this talking about? Of the specific grace of the God. The specific gospel of the grace. This is the gospel for maturity. You can figure that out when you go down to verse 32. To build you up. Not to get you saved. This is the gospel that is the mandate for pastor teachers to teach. That's going to be the significant difference between a pastor teacher, a teacher, and the teaching that every Christian can do. Now, every Christian doesn't have to teach verbally, but they have to teach. We'll get there. So I want to share something with you that was going through my mind the last couple of weeks, I guess. And I'm going to take a shot at a couple hymns, okay? I just love songs, so don't, but they teach error. Now, we went to Barbara, and it seems like I'm taking a sidestep here, but actually I'm teaching you grace and how to guard and keep the true gospel of how to live by grace. Now, Barbara and I went to a memorial, and they sang a song, and I can't tell you how this one song just keeps going in my mind and in my mind. It's got such a nice tune, and it just really grabs you, and I keep telling that song, get out of my mind. You know, like kind of like the ads. There's a word for it, for the ads on TV that they purposely have try to get you to go around with a jingle. It's called a worm, a mind worm. I've heard that on the sports station, that you get these little mind worms that just keep going in your mind. Well, this song is similar to one we have in our book. It's the one I'm thinking about is Make Me a Blessing. And the one we have in our hymnal is called Make Me a Channel of Blessing. But this hymn, which is actually this hymn is so close that it's like a 98% close, but it starts with the wrong premise. And the chorus goes, we have one in our book, hymnal, that says, make me a channel of blessing today, make me a channel of blessing today. That's not the one. Actually, this one is pretty decent tune, but the one at this memorial was, make me a blessing, make me a blessing, make me a blessing today, I pray. And in the English, when you have a verb in most languages, you know what who the subject is. But when you read that song, "Make Me a Blessing," who is the person that you're singing? The person singing, who is the person addressing? You make me a blessing. Who would the you be there in that sentence? You don't have to answer. Obviously, it's God, because at the end of the chorus it says, I pray. Okay, now, we're going to look at a couple verses, and then we'll come back to this concept of, is it a legitimate thing to ask God to make you a blessing? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1:9. God, let's just do the first three. I'm going to tell you in this context, it's talking about, for want of a better term, let's just stereotype it real quick. It's talking about living a Christian life. And what are the first three words in the ninth verse of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, say about the Christian and living the Christian life? My Bible says God is faithful. That means that in the Christian life, now here's what we're going to develop. In the Christian life, God is rock solid. He never changes. Who's the variable? Who's the variable in the Christian life? It's the Christian determining to live up to the access and access the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But God is always faithful. It's always there. So if there's a problem with a Christian not living the Christian life, who, again, I want you to answer this in your head. Who is the variable? The Christian, not God. In the song, Make Me a Blessing, who is the variable? God. You're telling him, I want you to make me a blessing. And God's saying, I've always have this, the Christian life is always available. No, I'm going to give you a bunch of other verses. There's no way God's not going to ever be in a situation where he's not going to, through the Holy Spirit, enable you to do what he wants you to do. But when you don't do it, it's because we fail. Let's do another verse. That has to do with the Christian walk. Go over to the 10th chapter in the 13th verse. We fail at temptation. We fail at temptation. Whose problem is that? 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation which has taken you but is common to man. But the God, that's God the Father, is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you have the ability. The ability there is a reference to the Holy Spirit enabling you. So if I'm tempted above which I succumb to that temptation, do I say, God, don't tempt me? I got a verse that says God doesn't tempt anybody. That's over in James, the first chapter. This verse, you know what the word faithful means? It means dependable. The true Christian life that is laid out in the New Testament is dependable. The only variable is the Christian. That song should be changed to, I determine to be a blessing today, because if I do what I'm supposed to be, I will. Let's do another verse. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now this comes, what I'm trying to show you is, by negative example, that God's grace is always available. This is the grace, the gospel of grace for maturity. It's always there. So the problem with Christians not maturing is not God. He's rock solid. That's what I'm proving to you from Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace set you apart holy, even your whole spirit and your whole soul and whole body be. This is talking about live up to your future inheritance. Let's do it that way. Be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful, that is he who called you, that's to salvation, who also will do it. God is faithful. If there's anything that goes wrong in the Christian life, who's the problem? Me. So I can't ask God, make me a blessing. He's already provided it. And the word for that provision is what is called also a gospel. A specific gospel of grace. I'm the variable. You're the variable. You see, I hope I'm getting across what I'm... 1 John 1:9. When you sin, we're just picking out this one phrase. When you sin, now, after I read this to you first, I don't want anybody to confess a sin this way. God, please forgive me. This verse does not say that. It doesn't say you have to beg him. And it doesn't say you have to beg him 32 times on your knees and crawl across glass up a stairs. It doesn't say that. 1 John 1:9. Faithful means totally dependable. If we should agree with God, the abhorrence, I'm going to add what it means, the abhorrence that the sin that we did, he, God the Father, is faithful. He's always dependable and is absolutely acts right. Just, and sends that sin away, the sins away, and cleanses us from all the unrighteousness that led up to that sin. Is God the variable in sin? No, we are. Do I ask God not to sin? No. I have to determine to access the power that the Holy Spirit gives me. Let's do another one. 2 Timothy 2:13. Now, I'm telling you this, the reason I'm doing this, I'm taking the time to do it, is to get it out of my head, for one thing. That song driving me nuts. And the other thing is, I want to impress upon you that this gospel, the grace gospel, is available to anyone. And it is always dependable because it was given by the dependable God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. Okay, let's start with verse 12. I'm going to give you an interpretation of 12, and then we'll get verse 13. Since we suffer, we shall also reign with Christ. Since we say no to him, he will say no to us. That's the carnal Christian. Verse 13. If we believe not, that, then the belief here has to do with this doctrine of grace living, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. When I'm carnal, God is still faithful to his promise. And if I'm carnal, the faithful promise I need to access is 1 John 1:9. But he doesn't say, well, that Schaefer did a real stinking sin this time. I'm going to move 1 John 1:9 away for him. So I don't have to ask him, please come back with 1 John 1:9. It's always there. He is abides. That means he's at ease at being faithful and cannot deny himself. If God gives you a promise, the promise that the Holy Spirit is available to fill you, to overcome the sin nature, he cannot deny that promise. One more. These are just off the top of my head. I could get a bunch more. Titus 1:2. Now, eternal life is that quality of life from deity. It's in the realm of our spirit. When the God the Son indwells us, we have eternal life. Life means animation. That means I have an animate relationship with God. Animation meaning it's active, an active relationship with God. I don't always access it. And according to Galatians 5, you don't always access it, but it's always available. Titus 1:2, upon hope from eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before times of eternity. God promised me that I have the potential because God the Son, 1 John 3, that because God the 1 John 5, because 3 and 5 are on the same site, never mind. Because God the Son indwells me, I have eternal life. God promised me that I have the ability to live a God-like life. So I don't have to ask God to make me live God-like. It's always available. The variable is me. So, I don't want to change all the songs. If you ever sing that song, change it in your mind to, I determined to be a blessing today because I'm going to do what you want me to do. Because it's always available. Every Christian can be a blessing every day. The power is there. Do we always do it? No. No. Now that song might get out of my mind. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Let's go back to Acts 20. You know what I'm trying to show you, and then we're going to get into guard the flock next week. I'm trying to show you how subtle error comes in. It's subtle. And I'm telling you, do you know that? Does anybody know the song I'm referring to? I don't want to sing it. But man, it's a lilting song. And it's like a mind worm. Of course, I'm just bragging I got a mind to have a worm in it. Some people doubt that at times. Okay, Acts 20. Verse 28. Take heed unto yourself. And then down in verse 32, the word. Okay, let's start with verse 2. Now, brethren, I commend unto you and to the word of the previously mentioned grace. Now, the way I do it, I'm trying to help you here. In my Bible, when there's an article, a previous reference, or an article that's very important, like I have the word grace in my Bible, and what I do is because I don't have my Greek right here, I have a little thing I put there, and then that lets me know there's an article. That's how come I knew it, because I looked it up. That article, then, if you underline the grace of him, in the middle of verse 32, goes back up to the last six words of verse 24. The specific gospel of the specific grace from God. It doesn't belong to God. He gave it to us. It was his attitude when he gave us stuff. So it's from God. Now, I looked that up just recently in Webster's Dictionary. There are 14 ways the word of is used in English. So when I do this, I'm trying to tell you what it means, that this is the specific grace from God. Now, there is a gospel. Let me get it exactly how many gospels there are. I got it over here in the last part of Romans. There are 18 gospels in the New Testament. I got a list. Okay, they're different gospels. But I'm going to show you a gospel. Gospel means good news. By the way, good news to, if it's good news to one set of people, that doesn't mean it's good news to everybody. Even our gospel for salvation isn't good news to unsaved people. And in fact, the ones that reject it are going to be a little more toasty than the ones that didn't. Just saying. Okay, let's go over to Galatians, the first chapter. This is a gospel that can be given up as a Christian and still be a Christian. So that means it's not the gospel for salvation. Let me say that again. This is a gospel a Christian can give up and still be a Christian. It's not the gospel for salvation. This is one of the other 17. This is the gospel that the pastor teacher is supposed to be teaching. Verse 6, first chapter of Galatians. Okay, now let's do this. Let's do the long. Verse 2, you see he calls them brothers. They're not from the brother from another mother. They're brothers in Christ. Okay, so he's calling them Christians. Do you see in verse 2, he says that they're in the churches. Now, when Paul says church, he's not talking about a building. He's talking about not a physical building. He's talking about a spiritual building. So when we get down to the you in verse 6, who is he talking to? Christians. Okay, we got that. Verse 6, Galatians 1st chapter. I, Paul, marvel. The word marvel here is interesting. I'm amazed. Put it in my terms, I can't believe it. I'm marvel that you so quickly removed yourself from, away from him, that'd be God the Father, that called you, that'd be initial salvation, by the grace from Christ, and here's what they moved from. And they moved to another gospel. So they had the gospel, and we're going to see for maturity. And the book of Galatians is basically this. There's a lot more there than this. The book of Galatians is not a problem with that they're saved. It's a problem once you're saved, how do you live the Christian life? And in Galatians, they said, wait a minute. Under law, you could be righteous before men by your works. So that means we can be righteous before God with our works, and we'll just make up rules. We like the rules of the Old Testament so much, we're going to add to them. Now, this is an adult class. Paul says, okay, you want to make everybody that has to be a Christian, you want to prove it by their circumcision that they go back under law. Okay, cut everything off then while you're at it. That's what Paul says. He wasn't too happy with them. Now, this word for other, they went to another of a, there's two words for other. They went to another of a different kind of gospel. It's parallel, but it's different. Verse 7, which is not another of the same sort of gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert, that's satanic, the gospel from, and this is the Christ. Now, if you've been around me in Sunday school for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've developed this concept a little in 1 Corinthians 12:12, I can't keep going there. The Christ sometimes, not always, is used to signify the whole body of Christ, particularly as it relates to the head. You see how I got those feet in there? This guy needs another hand here. When we talk about the body of Christ, we primarily are talking about how it functions down here. When Paul and the Holy Spirit use the Christ, it's talking about how we function down here as related to the head up there. It includes the head, more emphasis on the head than just the body. Now, it's an emphasis. It's not just, don't say that the body isn't the head. It all works together, but it's just an emphasis. So what he's saying here is they perverted the good news concerning that Christ is the head of the body, which, by the way, is fundamental to the Christian life. If you remember when we went last Sunday, when we went through Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, what it basically, it talks about how the body grows. It takes the human body metaphor and uses it for the body of Christ. And it, basically it says that the only way that each individual part grows is when it's functioning the way it's supposed to. And if somebody tries to function outside the body of Christ's assignment, so to speak, your role within the body of Christ, then it's perversion. Now, I'm going to tell you how they perverted it here. We have trouble with people that want work salvation to be saved, but at Galatia, they had the trouble that they wanted to work for their present tense salvation. Now, we work, now listen, we work because we're saved. We don't work to stay saved. And if we don't work in co-work with God, it's not worth it. You know, I saw another verse. Turn back. There's another verse that describes this, the 12th chapter of Romans. I think I can get it. Yeah, fourth verse. This is going to sound a lot like 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ. Let's start with verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to the God. God the Father has dealt to every one a measure consisting of faith. Now watch verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, does that sound like 1 Corinthians 12? All members do not have the same practice. So if I'm a part of the body and function out of that part of the body that I'm assigned to, the body doesn't operate at an optimum level. It doesn't grow. That's 1 Corinthians 4. Or excuse me, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 14 through 16. Now, the gospel from the God, the one concerning grace, is one gospel. This is what we tried to show you over in Galatians, the 1st chapter. That a Christian can give up. I've seen them do it. And still be saved. Now, are they going to be happy? No. They're in big trouble. And this is a figure of speech, but I'm going to use it. They're the kind of Christian I try not to get too close to because I don't like lightning bolts. Come back when you get it straight. I don't like to be around that. And you shouldn't either. That's the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, I want to deal with this gospel because you will see in almost every church, whether it's Catholic, Mormon, Witness Against Jehovah, Eighth-day Adventist. It's funny. The only part of the law the Seventh-day Adventists want to go back over is the Fourth Commandment, and they forgot the other nine. By the way, I know some saved Seventh-day Adventists. Because in the old, and there, did you know there's a Seventh-day Baptist? There's all kinds of Tommy Rod out there. But anyway, let's look at this gospel over in Romans, the 16th chapter. This, I'm going to say this, I'm not going to develop it today as such, but I want you to know, I haven't done a category. One of my bucket lists, I got a list on my desk, is I want to go through all the New Testament on the word gospel. I've done it to see the different gospels, but I want to go through all the Pauline epistles and figure out exactly how many times you have the gospel of grace and the gospel for salvation. And I want to get them all labeled. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to label your Bible, this is in the 16th chapter of Romans, that's the gospel for the gospel of grace, for maturity. We're going to show you that. If you want to contrast in the book of Romans, that's why you got to be careful. In the first chapter, in the 16th verse, I'm turning the page in my mind. First chapter and 16th verse, you have the gospel for salvation, so Paul can switch. Now, here's what we got already. If you see life, you have to figure out, is it spiritual life, spiritual death? You see, or spiritual life or physical life? If you see death, is that spiritual death or physical death? If you see all these terms, you have to decide. And the word gospel is used multiple different ways. This is the one that the pastor teacher is supposed to teach, Romans the 16th chapter, 25th verse. Now before I do that. Paul was an apostle, but he functioned as a pastor. Timothy was an apostle, but he was the pastor at Ephesus. So when we get all the books of Timothy, when we get the commands that Paul tells Timothy, those are applicable to a pastor because that's the function that in the early church the apostles did. Just to let you know, we weren't lifting context. 16th chapter, Romans 25th verse. Now, unto him that is the power, that's the inherent power, the ability to establish. This word establish has the idea I got some synonyms here. It has the idea really of having a mental direction and keeping it that way, or make firm would be another translation, or make stable. I call it maturity. Now, here's another word. Maturity is a quest. Whenever I write something, I look around to see if I spelled it wrong. Let me give you an exact verse for this. In Philippians, don't turn there because we got other things to do. In Philippians, the third chapter, I get it mixed up with the first chapter. You have Paul saying that he's mature, and then he says, and then in three or four verses later, he says, but I haven't got complete maturity. Maturity is a quest. That's another way of saying you're either growing spiritually or you're regressing spiritually when you're not sleeping. Romans, the 16th chapter, 25th verse. Now, unto him that has the inherent ability to make you firm, now that would be in the Christian life, to you Christians, according to my gospel. Now, this is different than the gospel for salvation, because the gospel for salvation gets you saved, but it doesn't in and of itself show you how to mature. What are you going to do? I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe. You're going to go. That doesn't tell you what to do. It just tells you you're in the right family. Now that you're in the family, you need some concepts. My gospel and the preaching, declaring with authority, if my memory serves me, of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? The God-man who died for your sins was raised and the third day and exalted and is in the heavens, according to the revelation from the mystery. Now, when you see the word mystery, that means it's not in the Old Testament. Just an aside, I actually found the chart I refer to all the time about the two hills, that you have the New Testament down here, and in the Old Testament, I found that chart, and I made a copy for all of you. But that's the word mystery. This concept of from the Old Testament, they saw the suffering and they saw the glory. They didn't see the 2,000 years that come in between. That's the concept that's referred to in the word mystery. Okay. According to the revelation from the mystery, which was kept secret from times of eternity, but now, so is it a mystery now? No. But now is made plain, that's what the word manifest with, by the scriptures of the prophets. Now that would be New Testament prophets, according, now remember, if you doubt me on that's New Testament prophets, put Ephesians 2:20 there, that the foundation was laid by the apostles and prophets. Put Ephesians 3, about verse 6, that the Holy Spirit was telling the prophets and apostles about New Testament truth. The scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment or command of the eternal God made known to all Gentiles. The nations should be translated Gentiles. Now, could you find that verse in the Old Testament? No way, Jose. For the obedience of the faith. Now, underline obedience of the faith. That's what this gospel is. This is how to work out the salvation you already have. You want a verse for that? Turn over to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter. And we just want to hit, we'll hit verse 12, but we're going to emphasize the last part of it. Wherefore, brethren, as you are always obeyed, this is obeying the faith, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out, underline that, your own salvation. Do you see that? You work out because you're saved, not work for it. That's what he's referring to back over in the 26th verse of the 16th chapter of Romans, when he says the obedience of faith. Obedience of faith. So here's our message today. The pastor teacher, when it says in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, this is what he's telling the pastor teachers there. When it says feed the sheep, he's not saying feed them any old thing. In that context, he's saying, feed them the gospel. Let's just, the specific gospel of the grace from God. There's an article before both of those. That's what the pastor teacher is supposed to feed. Now, if you've ever been around livestock, you know they can get that, there's hay and then there's hay. If you feed alfalfa, you can get up to like 16% protein. And that's why a big horse, a 1,200-pound horse, you know this, you can feed them two little flakes of alfalfa and they can exist on that. They should, or you make them fat. Because it has so much protein in it. But if you can give them all the straw you want in the world and they'll starve to death. Now let's go back to sheep, because that's here. You got the word shepherd and you got the word which means they're sheep in Acts 20. A pastor can feed straw. Now, you know straw has no nutrient value. Although sometimes sometimes when you get real poor, you pour molasses on it so that they'll eat the straw so that they'll fill up and then they won't. But that's not optimum. You feed sheep straw and they'll starve to death. That's the picture. They have to be fed. The gospel of the grace from God. That's not in the Old Testament. So if you ever catch me, let's just do it to me. If you ever catch me telling you how to live out of the Old Testament as a Christian, you have the right to stand up in the middle of my sentence and correct me. Because that's not the gospel of the grace from God. That's in the New Testament. Now it goes without saying, we just love the Old Testament and we use it all the time. In fact, we're going to use it quite a bit in the morning service, Lord willing. Now, I want to show you this. Keep that in mind and turn over. We did a little bit on this last week, but I want to show you. Turn over to 1 Timothy 5:17. This here it's talking about elders. And by the way, the Anglicans wanted a kind of a church of tyranny. They wanted to be dictators. We're going to eventually see that a pastor should never do that. And so whenever they had the opportunity, in fact, we'll see two places over in Hebrews that they do this. They do it in Timothy as well as in Titus, I believe. Whenever they saw the word organized and it had to do with leadership of the church, they all automatically put the word rule in because they wanted to rule. They wanted to be autocratic in their organization. But in this verse, there shouldn't be the word rule. It's in 1 Timothy 5:17. That little sucker's still alive, I guess. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elder organize. Now, the reason, I told you this before, the reason that in the early church, let me go ahead and tell you that. In the early church, the pastor-teacher had to organize his home because that's where they met. This doesn't mean that if the pastor has a 60-year-old child that robs a bank, that the pastor's in charge, that he's accountable for that. No, while they're in their home. I have known pastors that the kid robbed a whole bunch of houses, and the pastor enabled him, and it stunted his ability to be a pastor for many a year. And he excused his son to be, the reason he did it is he's so smart. I was a principal of the talented and gifted group, the top 1% in Portland, 50,000 students, the top 1%. And I was the principal over it, and the teachers, the parents, well, he did that because he's so smart. And I'd always tell him, you understand morality and right and wrong is a different domain than intellect. Hitler was probably very intelligent. I don't know about Mussolini, but I know that Stalin was too. Okay. You thought I forgot. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elder that organizes this as a home well be counted worthy of double wage, especially those elders that labor. Now, the word labor has the idea of sweat. This is grunt labor. This doesn't mean look at the notes in your Bible that you got in seminary 20 years ago. Labor in word, quality of word. Now, in the original, the grammar here makes word different than doctrine. So you have two sets of values here. And word then would be the grace gospel. And the doctrine here is the word for Old Testament doctrine. So which one comes first in this verse? The pastor teacher is to dispense and major on the grace gospel. But he's also supposed to teach what I'm stereotyping, but it's just a little too simplistic, and I don't want to spend two sentences using it every time. What we're just labeling Old Testament doctrine. Though in the grammar here is that they're different. It's called this is a G sharp without articles. It's rule number 5, if I read, or 5 or 4, if I remember right. The one you always hear about is number 1. So they're completely different. Now, next week, what we're going to get into, and then we're going to be done with pastor-teacher. A pastor-teacher is never, we're going to do two things next week, never to be a dictator. There's a and that's a pick goes back to sheep, flock. The good shepherd is followed. Remember we saw that over in John? The good shepherd gets followed. That's in John 10. Not push. The second thing we're going to see is it's never to be for money, which rules out almost everything you're going to see on TV. Not everything, but most. Not all of them. When I say stuff like that, there's exceptions to every slam. But so we're going to do those two things, not for money and not a dictator. Those kind of work hand in hand. We'll get that next week. And then, Lord willing, we'll start making distinctions between the teacher, pastor teachers. It's one inductive reasoning. Deductive reasoning is 1, 2, 3. Well, the next one has to be 4. Inductive reasoning, I'm simplifying this, is 1, 3, well, and 5, and then, well, the next one's probably 7. But you don't know for sure because you don't have enough of a pattern. But inductive reasoning looks at what's not said. And so what we're going to do when we get to, we only have one verse on the gift of teacher. So what we're going to do is say that since it's a different gift, it can't include some of the stuff that the pastor teacher gift includes, or they'd be the same gift. It'd be a duplication. And then we're going to get into Romans or Hebrews 5, where every Christian teaches, and 1 Peter 3, where every Christian has a testimony and should be ready to give the answer for the hope that lieth within him. Now, I want to say this, and then we're done for today. When we make these distinctions, they're not, don't in your mind make these columns with lines that there's some little bit of crossover. Okay, they're general patterns. There's exceptions. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are always faithful.